also want to greet each one of you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be gathered in the house of God. Special welcome to our visitors that are here. Trust you can worship God with us and be inspired in our walk with God this morning. For a text, turn with me to Amos chapter 4. I'd like to read some verses here. And I must say, when I felt led to preach this message, I didn't realize that we would be in Daniel chapter 12 today. I didn't realize all the happenings of the last 2 weeks. Yet I think God has a message for each one of us this morning. A few things may be a bit of a repeat of some things that we discussed in our Sunday school lesson, but that's okay. None of the things that I'm saying this morning are anything new to any of us. We've heard these things many times, and it doesn't really matter what I say, but what is important is the Word of God. Search the Word of God for all of us. Don't just believe what I say, but search the Word of God. See what He has to speak to us. See what He has to say to us through His Word. Here in Amos chapter 4, God was speaking to the house of Israel. And Israel was in the midst of idolatry, in apostasy, and God was trying to get their attention. God was saying, come back to me. God was saying, I'm trying to get your attention, that you would come back to me. I care about you. And if you notice, we'll read verses 4 through 13, but you'll notice, I think it's 5 different times that God says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God was trying to get their attention. God, in His fatherly love, cared about Israel and cared about their wickedness that they were in. He wanted to get their attention and bring them back to Himself. And He was using different means to do that. And yet they weren't listening. Let's read Amos chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgressions. Bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I will also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not, withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and I have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Yet were ye as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind, and declareth unto man, what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth? The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. And I take my title from verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. Very sobering words to Israel. It has a sense of a military term here, that God was telling Israel, you know, I am coming to destroy if you don't return unto me. But then even with that, as he was talking to Israel and telling them to prepare for that time, in verse 5, he goes on and gives a call to repentance. And several times in chapter 5, it says, seek ye the Lord. And Brother James read that also this morning in Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In chapter 5 in Amos, verse 4, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Verse 6, seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Verse 8, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. Time and again, God says, seek me, and ye shall live. I know these chapters were written to the Israelites for their time. But God is the same God, and he cares about each one of us the same as he did about the Israelites. And he says to each one of us, prepare to meet thy God. What am I doing to prepare to meet my God? And part of seeking God, as he says in verse 5, is preparing to meet him. We need to seek him with our heart. We need to prepare to meet him. And this means more than just accepting him as our Savior and as our Lord. That's very, very important. That's a very important first step. And we'd like to look at that a bit later on. But I'd like to look at a few practical things, I guess, in preparing to meet God. In our life here, as we think of the word prepare, it means to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. An example of that would be to prepare food for a meal. You ladies know what that is. To think ahead of time of possibly a hungry family or somebody that will be hungry, you make ready beforehand for that meal. Another definition would be to put in a proper state of mind as he is prepared to listen, or to work out the details of or plan in advance. And you know, we're preparing all the time for different things. We prepare for company, we prepare for vacations. We prepare for weddings. We prepare for our work. And the list could go on and on. Teachers are preparing for school. And oftentimes we can tell how important something is to a person and how much time he spends in preparing. For instance, when we prepare for work, when we get up in the morning and prepare for work, for one, it doesn't take me a whole lot of time to get ready for work. I don't spend a whole lot of time preparing for work. Putting our clothes on, sometimes hair might not be kempt quite the way it should. But it's a different story when you're preparing for a wedding, which is more important. You know, there's a lot of work and a lot of effort put into preparing for a wedding. And rightly so, it's something very important. But we spend a lot more time preparing that than we do in, say, going to work. One's a lot more important to us than the other. How about when you're meeting a youth friend versus meeting a boyfriend or a girlfriend for the first time? A lot more preparation goes into one than the other. And a personal question for all of us is, how much time am I preparing to meet God? Am I spending any time in preparing to meet Him? How important is my relationship with Him? Do I treasure that relationship? How important is God to me? And as I was pondering those things, I thought of, well, how does God look at this? How important is God's relationship with me? And I'd like to look at just a few scriptures that talk about God's relationship with us and how important that is to Him, and what He's doing to prepare for us. Turn with me to John chapter 14. There are several passages I'd like to look at, and I'd like to have you turn with me there and have it impressed upon our minds the great lengths that God is going to preparing a place for us, and how important that is to Him. And hopefully in some way that can be impressed on our minds, and we can think about how much we should prepare to meet Him also. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So He is preparing a place for us, for each one of His children. And He's coming back for us. And in verse 4, He says, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. We know the way to Him. He has showed us how we should live. He has left us His word to show us how we should live, so we can meet Him someday. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We can't even begin to comprehend what all God has done for us and what He will do for us. What great love that God has showed to us. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Few more verses. And there's many, many verses that talk about God's preparation for us, for His treasured possession. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Again, a preparation for His children. A verse in Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. As you think about a bride that is waiting for her husband, how does she prepare? Probably very carefully, very carefully, with great love, single-minded, focused. And that is how God cares about each one of us. And there's many other verses that talk about God's love for mankind, God's love for his church, for his children. And I hope we can be impressed with that God really does care about us. And that would drive us to a deeper devotion to him, a deeper desire and a longing to serve him faithfully. Just a few things that I'd like to look at as we prepare to meet God in this life. How about my meeting with God in my devotional time? Am I taking time to reflect upon God and upon his character? Am I taking time to read his word, to meditate? Am I carefully looking at the guidebook, the Bible, that he has blessed us with and the privilege that we have to have it in our hands? Are we carefully looking at the path that he wants us to take? Carefully, prayerfully. Am I carefully listening to his spirit, speaking to me, guiding my thoughts, my life? Take this personally, each one of us. This needs to be in a daily basis. Is my daily meeting with God more important than facing time in the lion's den like it was for Daniel? How important is our devotional time with God? It needs to be of utmost importance. And I know we all live very busy lives. So many things going. And yet we must take time to meet God in our devotions. A time set apart just with me and God. A time to carefully listen to his spirit. How about during the day? When we go about our work, is my ear tuned to that Spirit speaking to me? The Spirit of God speaking to our lives? Am I communing with him? Are we asking him, God, how would you want me to respond to this certain situation in life? What should I do in this specific time? Am I receiving direction from him? Am I listening to his spirit? God's spirit wants to speak to each one of our hearts, not only in our devotions, but throughout the day. Am I listening? That is part of preparing to meet God, listening to him. How about have we prepared to meet God in worship this morning? How much time have I taken to prepare for this worship service this morning? And I think our preparation should begin before the Sunday morning service. I think it should start on Saturday, spending time in prayer that God would speak to our hearts, preparing our hearts to receive the word. And I think it's important that we go, if possible, to go to bed maybe earlier Saturday evenings. So we're not so tired Sunday mornings. And I know sometimes it may be the preacher's fault that people fall asleep in church. But I don't think it's all that. Sometimes we are too busy. We don't take time to prepare ourselves for worship. But think about why we are here. We're here to worship God. We're not just here because it's just what we do Sunday mornings. We go to church and it's a time to listen to God's word, and then we go on like it always has been before. But it's a time of worship, a time of communing with God. Let's be prepared for that. Get up in time Sunday mornings. And I know that's not always easy. But getting up late Sunday mornings tends to make us frazzled, makes us rush about, and it's not conducive to worship. That's one thing we do know. It's not conducive to worship. Be at church on time. For some, that means maybe 15, 20 minutes before service starts. For others, that maybe means to be here after the first song. How important is our time with God? And I challenge each one of you to think about how coming late to church affects not only our own lives personally, but how it affects other people's lives. It's a distraction to come in late. And I understand there's things that come up that are out of our control, that we are late sometimes. I understand that. But let's do all that we can to be here early. It's important that we spend time in prayer, in meditation, before the service. Not only is it a blessing to those that are sitting beside us, but it will be a blessing to our own lives personally. The more time we spend in preparation for a Sunday morning service, the more we will get out of it. Remember who we are meeting and what we're and why we are meeting. We're here to worship God, the creator of the universe, a God that cares and loves about each one of us. Remember what I said earlier, we can often tell how important something is by the amount of time we take to prepare for it. And think about that personally. How have I prepared my heart for the service this morning? Be active in the worship service. Take part in singing. Follow along when scripture is read. Those are all things that are very conducive to a worship, to a meaningful worship service, not only for our own lives, but the lives of those around us. Don't be distracted by your electronics, and don't be a distraction to others. Whispering, that's a distraction, not only to the one that you're whispering to, but others behind you or in front of you. It's a big distraction. Don't do that. Care about our time, the serious time, in worship to God. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Is our joy made full by coming into the presence of God? Are we full of joy this morning that we can worship God and be in his presence? And the list could go on of things that, what we can do to prepare to meet God in this life. But I'd also like to think about preparing to meet God in death or in the judgment. Far too many people have done many, many things to prepare for things in this life. And it's important to do things to prepare for things in this life. But far too many people have done that and failed to prepare for what is most important, and that is to prepare for eternity. Hebrews 9, verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." A few verses just impressing upon our minds that we are not here to stay. We had that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. We are not here to stay. God will someday come for everyone Someday he will come for me personally, for you personally, and we don't know when that will be. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Matthew 25, 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Galatians 6, 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Revelation 22, verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Very serious and sobering verses as we think about God coming back for each one of us, and we personally will give an account to him of the things that we have done, and we will be judged by that. There's a lot of people today that refuse to acknowledge God. They refuse to pray to him. They say he doesn't exist. But someday, they will not refuse to stand before him. They will stand before God personally. And that's for all of us. Someday, our life here on this earth will be over. And it may be sooner than what we think. As we were reminded in the last few weeks, sudden deaths. These two families that were enjoying a family outing, and several taken. Or the three that were killed in the plane crash this past week, quickly. How things have changed. I don't know when it will be for me. You don't know when it will be for you. None of us knows. Only God knows. But one thing we do know is that we can prepare now for that day. And that's a blessing, to know that we can be prepared. Now is the time to prepare. Don't put it off. Delay in this matter can have eternal consequences. James 4, verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Our life is like a vapor, a little bit of steam, and it's gone. And that's our life. Just a short period of time. We don't know how long it will last. But we do know one thing, it will not last long. Luke 12, there's just a few verses I would like to read there. Luke chapter 12 talks about the rich man, the parable of the rich fool. And this man thought he can make all preparations for his, that he, in verse 19 it says, "And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He thought he's well taken care of. But God said in verse 20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." This rich fool prepared for this life but failed to prepare for eternity. And he was called a fool. We have all been blessed with very many material possessions. God has blessed us richly, far above what we deserve. But let's not be like this rich fool that failed to prepare for eternity. Let's not let these earthly possessions take our thoughts, our focus away from God. Let's use these as a tool to be a blessing to his kingdom. God has made all provisions that we can be prepared to meet him, to be prepared for eternity. And again, a few verses on this. And there's many, many more. The Bible is full of verses that says what he has done for us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent his only begotten Son. And what we need to do is believe on him. It's what he says, John 3:16. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ shed his blood for each one of us. God cared about us, loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, that he died for us. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Again, it's belief that's required. Belief in that God has provided what we need for salvation. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We need to renounce our sins. Believe on Jesus. Believe in his blood that was shed for us. God has made all provisions that we can be accepted with him. I have a small story to read. One of the strangest cases in American history centered around a man named George Wilson. He was sentenced by a U.S. court in Philadelphia back in 1830 to be hanged for robbery and for murder. Andrew Jackson was president of the United States, and at the request of many of George Wilson's friends, 3 weeks before he was to be hanged, Andrew Jackson issued a pardon for Wilson. But Wilson startled the world by refusing to accept the pardon and insisted that he be hanged according to the court's decision. George Wilson declared that the pardon was no pardon unless he accepted it. This was a point in law never raised before, because whenever a pardon was issued previously, it was always joyfully accepted. Should the sheriff accept the court's decision and hang Wilson, or should he accept the presidential pardon and release him? Since the law was silent on the point, President Jackson called on the Supreme Court to decide the issue at once. The decision read like this: "A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly to be supposed that one under the sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon. But if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must hang." And George Wilson was hanged. Now, we would probably all say that George was a fool for refusing to accept the pardon. But how many people today refuse to accept the pardon that God has offered and provided for all of mankind? God has provided that, and yet so many refuse to accept that. We don't need to die in our sins because Jesus died for us. But if this pardon is rejected, we will pay the penalty for our own sins, and we will bear the punishment ourselves. This morning, the phrase "prepare to meet thy God" does not need to bring fear if we have accepted God's provisions for us. If it does bring fear, now is the time to become right with God. Don't put it off. Accept the pardon that he has offered to each one of us. But my prayer this morning also is that the phrase, prepare to meet thy God, would bring joy. Joy to us as believers. Joy in knowing that we have accepted God's provision. Joy in knowing that we have the privilege to live for Him, the privilege to serve Him, the privilege to make Him the guide of our life, making Him the Lord of our life. That should bring us joy in knowing this God. Joy in spending time with Him. Joy in knowing that our bodies, which are wearing out, and they surely will, one time or another. Joy that someday these bodies will be replaced with a new body. Joy in knowing that someday we can be in His presence forevermore. Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. May we with joy in our hearts and with great anticipation say, even so come, Lord Jesus.